It's a beautiful song we just sang. I remember singing that a lot as a child. Those of you who are older here may recall that song, There Is a Sea, and our lesson this evening is based upon that. If you have a Bible and would like to turn, if you're in a place where you can see that this evening, you may not be able to, but if you'd like to turn to Genesis chapter 12, we're going to begin this evening with a very familiar passage there that we're familiar with regarding the call of Abraham. As you're turning over there, I want to say how grateful I am for the opportunity to be with you, Lord willing, not only tonight, but this weekend. I've been looking forward to these series of lessons for some time. I appreciate the elders and the congregation here for the invitation to be here, and I hope that our time spent in worship to God and in a study of His Word will be beneficial to all of us. I especially appreciate the brethren and the leadership and the organization to gather the things together that we need under special circumstances to be able to see with the power out. That means a lot to me where we can press on. It reminds me sometimes when I'm in other countries, you have to just put up with a lot of different things going on, and lights going out is something certainly that happens a lot. So I appreciate the brethren gathering together and working together to make this happen this evening. If you're visiting, you are the honored guest. We appreciate you supporting the efforts here at Hillview, and especially to be out in tonight's weather. We just sang this song, There Is a Sea. And as I mentioned, we sang that a lot growing up as a child. The first verse is talking about the Sea of Galilee. And the Sea of Galilee is a sea that receives water and gives water. And so this evening we're going to have a tale of two seas. We're going to talk about the Sea of Galilee. And in the second verse of that song that we sang, it talks about the Dead Sea. Are we someone like the Sea of Galilee who receives and then turns around and gives? Or are we like the Dead Sea that receives only? The beautiful words of that song, I am told that there were two verses of this song that actually go back quite a ways. But in the early 1900s, a member of the church, a Lulia Klingman in the church in Louisville, wrote the third verse of this song. And she wrote that because she wanted to ask the question, what shall it be for you and me? Which sea are we? Are we the Sea of Galilee that receives and gives? Or are we the sea, the Dead Sea, that receives only? Some of you may have traveled to the Bible lands, and maybe you've seen these two seas in person. Do we have a pointer, Josh? Is that the red here on the end? There we go. Thank you. The Sea of Galilee that you're familiar with, it receives water. Some of it comes from a small lake called the Waters of Merom or Lake Hola, north of the Sea of Galilee. So water is coming in and it receives water. And then on the southern end, it gives water all the way down through the Jordan River to the Dead Sea. But when that water gets down to the Dead Sea, it stops. And right here on the southern end, it does not flow anymore. Here's a satellite picture, the same thing, the water coming into the Dead Sea, leaving the Dead Sea, the Sea of Galilee, coming into the Dead Sea, but down here it just stops. And there's some farming down here on the southern end, but no water is flowing past that. Are we someone who takes in and then gives? That's our lesson this evening. Are we a taker only, or are we a taker and also a giver? You know, when you look at the Sea of Galilee, you can see that it is a sea that is blessed. There's fertile lands around. We know from primarily in the gospel stories how much time Jesus spent around the Sea of Galilee, and there's bountiful fishing there. We know about Peter, Andrew, James, and John, and we know about a number of lessons, the Sermon on the Mount, overlooking the Sea of Galilee, and a number of different miracles and sermons and parables. It's a very luscious area, a very fruitful area. An area that is highly populated because that sea that both receives and gives, that sea has a lot of life in it. And so there were people living all around the Sea of Galilee. But then when you get down to the Dead Sea, it's called dead for a reason. You see the salt that has condensed there. You see how it has formed on the shores. It's also called the Salt Sea. And as you know, not a whole lot can live in salt. Do you see this picture? Do you see how clear the water is? Do you know why it's clear? There's not a lot of bacteria in that water. There's not a lot of bacteria because it's salt. It's a dead sea. And you don't see a lot of people living around the edge. This is not some place where you want to live. It doesn't have life. It doesn't give life. And so today in modern culture, they will collect the salt and they will sell it. But it's not a sea that has a lot of life in it and produces a lot of good. There is a sea. That's what we just sang. The first verse, there's a Sea of Galilee that receives and then it gives. And in the chorus of that, what it thus receives, it gives with glad unsparing hand, a stream more wide with deeper tide. As it flows south, it gets even deeper to the point where John the Baptist and others could go down there and baptize in the Jordan River. It flows on to a lower land, but you get the Dead Sea. It's Jordan stream now turned to brine, salt water, lies heavy as molten lead. Its dreadful name doth air proclaim, that sea is waste and dead. And then the third verse, which is it for you and me? In Genesis chapter 12, we want to set the scene here this evening for our main point, and that is simply this. That God blesses us greatly, and I don't have to tell you, brethren, how much we're blessed. Our brother mentioned some of those blessings even in his prayer. But the admonition this evening is to be someone who is blessed and then turn around and give that away. Let it flow through us. That's what we sang in the song, Channels Only. And I appreciate our brother singing that song, Channels Only, and there is a sea, and then one that we're going to sing at the end of our lesson. Make me a channel of blessing. They all have the same theme, and that is that God needs to be working through us. Have you ever stopped to ask yourself, how does God work in the world today? How does God work in the world today? Well, somebody says, well, I believe in His providence. And that's right, He works through His providence. And somebody says, well, He works through His word. And that's true, He works through His word. But do you know that He works through you and me? That is quite an extraordinary thing. That the God of the universe, the one who has power to do all things, He chooses in many ways and in some cases to work through us. We're an instrument for Him. We're an agency by which He works. What an extraordinary and grand thing that is. Josh, if you want a freebie sermon for a week from Sunday, here's one. You can work on it next week. I've got to get it worked up. I haven't done that. God works for us. God works with us. God works in us. And God works through us. And that's what we're going to focus on this evening. Let God work through our lives. Be that Sea of Galilee where the water comes in and it goes through and goes out. And so in Genesis chapter 12 then, the very familiar passage of the call of Abraham, I remember hearing this a lot growing up as a child. We're familiar with the three blessings of Abraham, the nation blessing that was fulfilled when the Israelites went down into Egypt and they became a great nation and came out in the Exodus. The land promise, the people or the nation promise, the land promise that was fulfilled when Joshua went in and conquered the land and divided the land. And then the seed promise that Paul says in Galatians chapter 4 is ultimately fulfilled in Jesus Christ, and how that forgiveness of sins can come through him, and all nations, not just the Jews, can be blessed through Jesus Christ. And so Genesis 12:1, now Jehovah said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee, and I will make thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and be thou a blessing, and I will bless them that bless thee, and him that curseth thee will I curse, and in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Then Abraham leaves his country and comes into Canaan land. I heard that growing up a lot as a child, and I remember hearing a lot of lessons about the nation promise and the land promise and the seed promise, but it wasn't until later in life that my eye honed in more on the latter part of verse 2, and be thou a blessing. Underscore that in your Bible. This call of Abraham was not just simply about getting some stuff from God. You're going to get a nation, and you're going to get a land, and you're going to get some seed. It wasn't just about getting some stuff from God. It was also about him being a blessing to others. Be thou a blessing. That's a command. And as I've thought about this more in recent years, I've thought about the importance of being a channel where something flows through us. Some of you know about channels and conduits and culverts and things that transfer water or something from one point to another, electricity or wire that runs through a conduit to flow with and to flow through. That's what God wants for us. You know, this principle is actually found all over the Word of God. Let's just look at a few places in the Old and New Testament. Turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 15 and verse 20. The principle of being both a receiver and a giver. Deuteronomy chapter 15, with regard to the nation of Israel, in chapter 15 and verse 10, thou shalt surely give him, and thy heart shall not be grieved when thou givest unto him, because that for this thing Jehovah thy God will bless thee in all thy work and in all thou puttest to thy hand. For the poor will never cease out of the land. Therefore I command thee, saying, thou shalt surely open thy hand unto thy brother, to the needy and to the poor. Verse 10, God is going to bless you, but you need to open your hand to the poor. We find the same thing in chapter 16 and verse 17. Turn with me to Proverbs chapter 11 and verse 24 and 25. Brethren, the reason I believe that this lesson is important for us this evening is we live in such a selfish world. We live in a world where it's all about me and I'm first and look out for number one and my life and what I want and what I feel and what I think. And we live in a world that is narcissistic. You remember out of Greek mythology, Narcissus, the beautiful young man that was looking at his reflection in the water. He loved himself so much that he looked at his reflection until he died and fell over, and the mythology is he became a flower, and there is a Narcissus flower, but he was stuck on himself, and so we have the term narcissistic from that. Do you remember what one of the church members' names was that Paul greeted in Romans chapter 16? Do you remember that? Who was that? Somebody tell me. Anybody? Narcissus. There's a Narcissus in Romans chapter 16 whom Paul says is in the Lord. This person, probably a male, we don't know, but this person had to live under that terrible Greek mythology of someone who just is stuck on themselves, and yet they're in the Lord. They're focusing on Jesus and not themselves. But we live in that kind of a world. And I want us to be reminded this evening to not be like that, but to receive and then give. In Proverbs chapter 11, verses 24 and 25, for there is he that scatters and increases yet more, and there is he that withholds more than is meet, but lendeth only to want, the liberal soul shall be made fat, and he that watereth shall be watered also himself. Underscore that in your Bible. He that is watered shall be watered himself. God makes sure that when we're giving things, it's going to be replenished again from God, and then we just keep giving it out through ourselves. It is more blessed to give than receive, Paul said to the elders there at the church from those who came from Ephesus to meet him in Acts 20 and verse 35. Turn with me to John 17 with regard to Jesus' prayer before going to the Garden of Gethsemane and the cross when he's praying for the disciples there. He doesn't pray simply for himself, but he prays for the disciples also. And notice some of the things that he prays for concerning them. In verse 8, John 17, 8, "For the words which thou hast given me, I have given unto them, and they received them and knew of a truth that I came forth from thee, and they believed." What I got from you, Heavenly Father, I have given to them. And then later in verses 16, 17, and 18, they're going to go out and give it to others. We don't see a Dead Sea here. We don't see this idea of just get. But getting things and then turning around and giving things. Look at verse 12. The principle is there. "While I was with them, I kept them in thy name, which thou hast given me, and I guarded them, and not one of them perished, but the son of perdition. While I was with them, I kept them in thy name, which thou hast given me." God gave Jesus the name, the character, the authority of God, all that God is. And then he turned around and gave that to the disciples. Verse 14, "I have given them thy word." Verse 22, "And the glory which thou hast given me, I have given unto them." Jesus was a Sea of Galilee, if you will. He received things from his Father and he turned around and gave them to the disciples. As I begin to think about these things more, I'm trying to look at my Bible, and I would encourage you here this evening to, after hearing this lesson, to start looking at your Bible a little bit different. From Genesis to Revelation, when you're in Bible class and listening to Josh preach and doing your daily Bible reading, when you're reading passages of Scripture, ask yourself this: what is it in this passage that I can get from God and then I can turn around and give to somebody else? Start looking at your Bible that way. I've tried to do that myself. What a great principle that is. In the Old Testament, we find that Abraham, as we've mentioned, was supposed to do that. He's going to get some promises. He's going to get some blessings. But he was to be a blessing. The same thing in chapter 18, verses 18 and 19. And you know what? Paul in Romans 4, the Hebrew writer in chapter 11, James in James chapter 2, talks about the faith of Abraham, and he does bless us. We are blessed by being able, especially in Romans 4, where Paul says that we need to walk in the steps of our father Abraham. He teaches us, he blesses us with a life of obedience and faith. Now, it wasn't always like that. You remember the life of Abraham right there in chapter 12. Right there in chapter 12 where God says, "I want you to be a blessing." What happened later in that chapter when there was a famine and they had to go down to Egypt? What did Abraham do with regard to Sarah? We know what he did, right? Abraham lied. Well, that's not much of a blessing to other people when you're a liar, right? And then he lied again later with regard to Sarah again in front of Abimelech. So that's not much of a blessing. He had to learn not to do that. And in Genesis chapter 16, he and Sarah and Hagar, they get the bright idea, "We're going to help God out and we're going to have a child naturally." And Sarah says, "Take my handmaid Hagar," and that wasn't what they were supposed to do. That's not blessing others. My point is that Abraham wasn't sinless. He wasn't perfect in that regard. He had to learn to be a blessing to others, like we all do. So he had to learn, well, I don't need to do that. And God says, no, we're not going to take your child. And in chapter 15, it's not going to come from your servant. And in chapter 16, nope, it's not going to come from you and Hagar, nope. And turn over to Genesis 17. Didn't he laugh? Didn't he laugh? And then in chapter 18, Sarah laughed. That's not much of a blessing to other people when you're doubting God, right? So Abraham had to learn some things. And with that life from beginning to end, you see him begin to increase in faith and get better. And we get over to chapter 22 and he's willing to offer up his own son. Be thou a blessing to others. That's how we are truly a blessing to others, when we learn to walk in those obedient steps of faith. And that's what Paul says in Romans 4, that Abraham did for all of us. It was not written for his benefit alone, Paul says at the end of chapter 4. But for us, Abraham is a blessing. You know, Israel, turn with me to Zechariah chapter 8. Israel was to be a blessing to others, and they forgot that from time to time. When they got focused on their idolatry, and when they got focused on their worldliness, no, they were not a blessing to others. But God intended for Israel to be a blessing to others. In Zechariah chapter 8 and verse 18, the word of Jehovah of hosts came unto me, saying, thus saith Jehovah of hosts, the fast of the fourth month, and the fast of the fifth, and the fast of the seventh, and the fast of the tenth shall be to the house of Judah joy and gladness and cheerful feasts. Therefore love truth and peace. Remember Haggai and Zechariah trying to encourage the returnees to finish building the temple and worship God properly. Thus saith Jehovah of hosts, it shall come to pass that there shall come peoples and the inhabitants of many cities, and the inhabitants of one shall go to another, saying, let us go speedily to entreat the favor of Jehovah and to seek Jehovah of hosts. I will go also, yea, many peoples, not just Israelites, many peoples and strong nations shall come to seek Jehovah of hosts in Jerusalem and to entreat the favor of Jehovah. Thus Jehovah of hosts, in those days it shall come to pass that 10 men shall take hold of all the languages of the nations. They shall take hold of the skirt of him that is a Jew, saying, we will go with you, for we have heard that God is with you. What was one of the purposes of Israel coming back from the Babylonian captivity? So that they could be a light to the Gentiles. Isaiah said that they were to be a light to the Gentiles, and often they forgot that. Jonah forgot that. Jonah is not about simply a big fish. The story of Jonah is about a Jew who doesn't want Gentiles to be saved. He forgot that Israel was to be a light to the Gentiles. And so the gospel is not just for us here at Hillview, it's for us, and then we pass it on to our Nashville community, and we'll talk about that more later. Christians, this principle is found in the New Testament as well. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 20. We will not look at all of these Corinthian passages, but this principle is on many pages of our Bibles. Look for it. Begin to look for the principle of receiving and then turning around and giving in 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 20. For how many soever be the promises of God, in him is the yea. Wherefore also through him is the amen, unto the glory of God through us. Underscore that in your Bible. That's why I said earlier, a great lesson is God works for us, God works with us, God works in us, and God works through us, 2 Corinthians 1:20. And we're going to talk about how that's going to happen this evening. What a great thing. Let's be that Sea of Galilee. What are some areas in which we can be a channel of blessing? We can be a channel of blessing when we take our minds and our bodies and we use them in the Lord's work and in the Lord's service, especially the young people here this evening. Use your mind and your body to serve others and to serve the Lord. Get a good education. Use your mind to get a good education. Use your young body that you have strength with to go out and serve others. To get a good job. When we get a good job, our job is just not for ourselves. Our job is so that we can influence others and help others and take our income and help others. Use your mind and body to be a blessing to others. Use your physical blessings, our home, our car, our income. In Luke chapter 6, in Luke's account of what we call the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus says, you will receive and it will be packed down, running over. And Jesus says, give it away. Give, 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 and then you'll receive more. Our physical possessions. Use our homes to open them up for hospitality. Use our cars to go visit and to take someone to the hospital. Use our income to help out somebody that may be more in need. God has given it to you. Let it pass through you to help others. I was told that my grandfather was very giving. My grandmother, not so much. But my grandfather was very giving, I'm told. And that was passed on to my father. And I remember many times where he was just giving people, giving things away and helping people and buying somebody lunch. And it seemed like he always had his wallet out. I appreciate the Chapmans this evening feeding us for a meal. I appreciate their hospitality. God gives us physical possessions so that it can pass through us to help others. Be asking ourselves each day, how can I use my mind and body or my physical possessions or even my marriage? My marriage is not just for me. It's not. My marriage is for me and I can use that to help others. I put Priscilla and Aquila on the PowerPoint there. Priscilla and Aquila, man alive. How many times in the New Testament, over and over again, they're either helping Paul, they're opening up their home, the church that is in their house, Romans 16, and at the end of 1 Corinthians 16. And they're taking Apollos aside to teach him the way of God more accurately in Acts chapter 18. They're not using their marriage just for themselves. They're using their marriage to benefit others. So, husbands and wives, go out and go visit someone else and go together to teach someone. Open up your home for hospitality. Go visit someone together at the hospital. Our marriage is not just for us. Our marriage is for others, our children and our family. God gives us a quiver full. We can raise our children to be godly Christians so that they can go out and bless others. Let's start looking at these things that God gives us in a different way this evening. Let's start looking at these things. And as you have your Bible open, no matter where you are, begin to look at it as, okay, Sea of Galilee, what's coming in here? And then what does God want me going out? Start looking at your Bible that way. It will reform us. It will change us. It will radically improve our service to God. My favorite son-in-law is here because of this principle. My favorite son-in-law, Caleb Chapman, my favorite son-in-law. Yep. Marlon and Cindy had three boys and they raised them to be Christians, and one of those young men met my daughter and they got married. That's the principle that's going on here. And Cindy's parents are here, whom I appreciate. I know them more than I knew Marlon's parents, but in our marriage and in our children, God is blessing us in so many ways, and then we're turning around and we're raising them right so that we can give them away to others and they can bless others. And then everybody knows this evening that our two grandboys are the greatest grandchildren in the world. We all know that. There's no dispute with that this evening. There's nobody here that's going to dispute that. Have you seen Beckett play baseball? The guy's a golden glove already. Have you seen Wells eat? The guy eats like a horse. I love sitting beside him and just shoveling it in there. We all know that those are the two greatest grandkids ever. We know that. Brethren, what's happening here is godly Christians are using their marriage and their children. They know they're blessed, and they're turning around and letting that bless others. And Sherry and I get to be the recipients of that. In our local church, we're going to talk about this more Sunday morning, that will be a model. That will be a model here in Nashville. You know, the Dead Sea, all it is simply dead. There's no blessing in death. And when we're a taker only, and when it's give me, give me, give me, remember there in Proverbs chapter 30, the three small things, yea, four, and one of them is the horse leech that says, give me, give me, give me, and that's the society that we're in. That does not bless anybody. There's no life there. All it is death. And so we don't want to be like that. Not only is it dead, but it even loses what it has. Any water that comes into that, it's gone. And Jesus even made this point two different times in his ministry, in Matthew 13 and Matthew 25, that even that which he has will be taken away, Jesus said. And so somebody says, well, you know, I just don't feel spiritually minded. And I just don't feel like I love the Lord anymore, or that I'm active, or this or that. And you begin to question them and talk with them. Well, I don't read my Bible, and I don't give, and I don't really attend much, and I never do anything. That's your problem. We have to receive and then turn around and be a blessing to others. And we can hold on to even what we have, and God even gives us more. So as we come to the close of our lesson this evening, I want us to think about some ways that we can seriously and practically receive something from God and then turn around and give it to others. Number one, we are to receive God's word and then turn around and give it to others. The New Testament church in Acts 8 and verse 4 went everywhere preaching the word, and were to be teachers of the word, Hebrews 5, 12. Brethren here at Hillview, let me encourage you, as you hear Josh preach and as you hear you're sitting as a student in your Bible classes, ask yourself, I need to be a teacher one day at Hillview. I can't be just taking in all of Josh's lessons. I need to take in those lessons and then one day go in one of these classrooms and teach these lessons. God gives us His Word, and then we need to pass it on to others. We need to receive God's love and then turn around and give God's love. God is love. And in 1 John, for example, there's several passages here, but in the 1 John 4 passage, in verses 7 following, it's about God's love, but then starting in verse 9 and verses 11 and 12, it's about us turning around and loving one another. Because God showed His love in sending His Son, we're to turn around and love one another. Receive God's love and then turn around and give God's love. And that's not just some mystical, nebulous kind of a thing, God's love. It's always agape love, love that shows itself in sacrifice and service for others. We're to receive God's mercy and then turn around and give God's mercy. That doesn't mean we condone sin or overlook sin, but we're compassionate and kind and caring, and we work with people. If they refuse to change, then that's another course that we'll take with them. But give them time and be compassionate and patient. The Pharisees, Jesus dealt with this all the time. In Luke 7, with the woman who came and anointed Jesus' feet. Luke 15, Jesus is eating with sinners. Oh, it's terrible. He's eating with sinners. And then Jesus teaches this lesson about the lost coin and the lost sheep and the lost coin and the lost son. That's why I'm here. I'm here to seek and save the lost. But the Pharisee's like, well, I don't have mercy and compassion on anybody. We don't want to be around these dirty sinners. Simon in his home, Luke 7, if he'd known that she was a sinner, he wouldn't be letting her do that. Lacking compassion, lacking mercy, lacking kindness. We get that all the time from God, don't we? Let's turn around and give it to others. You know, we're to receive God's forgiveness and then turn around and give it. Let's just remind ourselves of Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 32. Be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving each other, even as God also in Christ forgave you. You've been getting forgiveness from God. You turn around and give it to others. Yes, it's conditioned upon repentance, Luke 17, 3. If your brother repent, forgive him. Yes, but there's cases sometimes in a local church when a brother will do that, but nope, we're not going to forgive. We're going to harbor the bitterness and the resentment and so forth, even if they do repent. Let's be that sea that receives and gives. We're to receive God's blessings and then turn around in the form of a contribution. That's the context of 2 Corinthians 9, 6 through 8. Turn with me there. This makes a great lesson. Sometimes, as I mentioned earlier, turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. We commonly read this as we should because it's the context of the contribution, but it's not limited to money. We're familiar with verse 7. Not to give grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth the cheerful giver. But look at verse 6. He that soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he that soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Look at verse 8. God is able with all grace to make you abound, that having all in all sufficiency in everything, we may abound unto every good work. Verse 9 is not God. That's a quotation from one of the Psalms, and if you go back and look at the context, it's not God. It's the righteous individual. He scatters abroad. He gives to the poor. That's us. Where does it come from? Verse 6, 7, 8, God giving us things. Sometimes brethren will say, well, you know, I just don't feel motivated. Well, are you praying? No. Are you attending? No. Are you giving? No. That's your problem. You are sowing sparingly. You're going to reap sparingly. You've got to put some prayers in the ground and some obedience in the ground and some attendance in the ground and some Bible study in the ground, and then later you're going to get some stuff back. But when I don't do that, well, I just wonder why, you know, things are not good in my life. You're not sowing, so you're not reaping. And much of it has to do with getting all kinds of things from God, but we won't let it pass through us to bless ourselves and to bless others. Through the years, there have been many times, and I don't watch brethren. I try to focus on the Lord's Supper, and I try to focus on the contribution, but every once in a while, because of maybe my duties or where I'm at in the auditorium, I might see that situation. There's been different times through the years, we all know this, where some brethren just won't give. They've got income coming in, but they won't give for whatever reason. God is blessing us. We need to turn around and give that. We're to receive God's talents and then give that away. In Matthew 25, verse 29, we're not to bury it. So God, young people, God has given you a mind and a body and an opportunity. Use that in His service. Use your mind and body to volunteer in the local church, to go do good works, to get involved, to even help people in the community that aren't members of the church. Volunteer. Help out. If you can pick up something and have strength in your body, use that to serve others. There's a lot of trees down, isn't there, as of today? You might have an opportunity to help a neighbor clean up a tree. And our minds, to be used not only in a study of His Word, but in an education. And then we can go out and talk with people about the gospel. use our talents, not bury them. We're to receive God's comfort and then give comfort. That's what Paul says, that God comforts us so that we might be able to comfort others also. Have you ever been comforted? Everybody here has been comforted by God. Okay. Well, then go to a nursing home and help comfort somebody. Go to a hospital bed. Go to a funeral home. Write a text. Make a phone call. Comfort somebody. You've been comforted. I've been comforted. Turn around and comfort others. You see how that works? Young people, listen to me. You are in a selfish world. It's all about me and my world and what I'm thinking about. And tonight's lesson is, no, I'm going to be that Sea of Galilee. I get so much from God and I'm going to turn around and give it away. We're to receive God's example, His light, His holiness, and then turn around. We were in Ephesians chapter 4 earlier. Look at the very next verse in chapter 5 and verse 1. This principle is everywhere. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 1. Be therefore imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love even as Christ also loved you. So here you are. You've been loved by Christ. Now you walk in love. And what a great thing that is. You know what, brethren and young people? If we'll do this, we'll be happier. We will be happier as a people. Do you know who's not happy? The selfish, narcissistic person. They are not happy. They're never happy. They're never content. They're never satisfied. They're always grumbling. But when you're a receiver and then a giver, you feel good that you went over and helped somebody. You feel good about that. And that's what the Lord wants for our lives. Which sea are you? Be a channel, not a reservoir. Be a channel through which God works. Not a reservoir that just, give me, give me, give me. And I remember singing that song as a child, and it has just a great message. Let's be that Sea of Galilee, not the Dead Sea. One of the best ways to be living, not dead. Sardis had a name that it was living, but it was dead spiritually. One of the best ways to be living, living, is to let that constant daily blessing of God flow through us. And whether it's our immediate family that we're going to be blessing, whether it's the local church, whether it's our neighbors, whether it's our community. What a great light that you have here at Hillview in Nashville. Man alive, Nashville, Tennessee. Wow. And I know this congregation has grown since Jesse first came here. Around what, Jesse, 2008 or so? It's grown. The place has grown. There's more people sitting on this side than there was back then, and there's elders now, and man, what an impressive thing for y'all. And what an advantage you have here in this community, and what a blessing you have. Let's be that Sea of Galilee that both receives and gives. And so hopefully, Lord willing, as it's been impressed upon my life recently in thinking about these things, I want to try to get up each day, and I still have a ways to go, but I want to get up each day with a goal in mind. What can I do to get something from God today and then let it pass through me and give it to somebody else? It could be the Amazon guy that's coming by, the FedEx guy that's coming by. It could be the person at Walmart. It could be the lady checking me out at Kroger, checking out the groceries, whatever. I'm going to try to bless others with the way God has blessed me. With that in mind, I wanted us to sing. This might be newer to some of you, but I wanted to sing. I know the older folks here this evening know this song. Make me a channel of blessing. This is not the invitation song. After we sing this song, I will just extend our invitation and then we will close this evening. I'm going to try to lead this from down here. Do so, let's all sing out. Is your life a channel of blessing? Is the love of God flowing through you? Are you telling the lost of the Savior? Are you ready His service to do? Make me a channel of blessing today. Make me a channel of blessing, I pray. My life possessing, my service blessing, make me a channel of blessing today. Is your life a channel of blessing? Are you burdened for those that are lost? Have you urged upon those who are straying the Savior who died on the cross? Make me a channel of blessing today. Make me a channel of blessing, I pray. My life possessing, my service blessing. Make me a channel of blessing today. Is your life a channel of blessing? Is it daily telling for Him? Have you spoken the word of salvation to those who are dying in sin? Make me a channel of blessing today. Make me a channel of blessing, I pray. My life possessing, my service blessing. Make me a channel of blessing today. Cannot be channels of blessing if our lives are not free from all sin. Will be barriers be and a hindrance to those we are trying to win? Make me a channel of blessing today. Make me a channel of blessing, I pray. My life possessing, my service blessing. Make me a channel of blessing today. What a great thought and a great prayer that we might want to think about maybe praying each morning. Make me a channel of blessing today. This evening we have an opportunity to baptize you into Christ if you need to do that. Or if you need to come back to the Lord in some way. One of the lines that we just sang there was that we can't be a channel if there's sin in our life. That's going to be the blocking point. That's going to be the point that holds up the process of blessing others. You can have that sin washed away this evening. If you'll come and confess Christ, repenting of your sins, have that washed away. Then you can go out and it will just flow through you to help others. Or as an erring child of God, if sin has come back in and we need to let the congregation know that we're going to make a change, when we get that sin removed, that blockage is out of the way, just like a blockage in the heart, the blood begins to flow again and the life comes back. And you can do that this evening. Our brother's going to come and sing that song of invitation. Tonight would be a great night to make that change. Starting tonight, the next day, the day after, we can be that channel of blessing. If we can help you, why won't you come as we stand and sing?